Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
You can ponder this and pick this one out. Here goes. Clinton and Bush are running for the White House. A Jurassic movie is number one in the theaters, and Terminator is due to come out in theaters next month. What year is it? Good evening. Hello, my fellow Americans. It is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great Granite State of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is Tuesday, June the 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2015, as we march on into the week. It is... Now, officially, summer. We got the muggies here. Not complaining whatsoever about the hot, warm muggies. It's like 80 degrees and muggy out. That's good for me. I don't mind it. What I just don't like is, you know, being told, "Oh yeah, we're gonna, yeah, you're gonna get a tornado." I don't know why they gotta run around trying to scare people like that. Look, this is an area that, well, not here in New Hampshire, but New England is an area that has been hit by tornadoes recently. And, you know, there are places in Springfield, Massachusetts that still haven't recovered from the last tornado that touched down there. That was years ago, actually. Now, Springfield is just a liberal bastion mess, actually. You can't blame that on the GOP. Isn't that something? You got places like Detroit, Chicago, Springfield, you know, even little places like Springfield, Mass. They're just, they've been run by liberals for decades, and they've been totally destroyed. Yet they want to blame Republicans. And Republicans haven't been in power in these cities, you know, for years and years and years, decades in some cases. So it's really quite interesting. You know, always blame somebody else. You can't be to blame, I guess, for liberals. If you wish to give me a call, you can do so toll-free, 603-835-3224. Again, the number is 603-835-3224. Here's a story that I found rather interesting, and it comes at an apropos point in time. Because I got to experience this BS firsthand with my father. Now understand, yeah, my father is 75 years old now. He's a man with still has a lot of life left in him, and he's not getting the timely medical assistance that he needs from the VA. But here's the story that got me from WND.com. Vets waiting longer today than before the VA scandal. The number of veterans seeking health care but ending up on a waiting list of 1 month or more is 50% higher now than it was a year ago when a scandal over false records and long wait times racked the Department of Veterans Affairs. And this is being reported by the New York Times. Again, not a conservative rag mag. The VA also faces a budget shortfall of nearly $3 billion. Now, the Times reported in a story posted online ahead of its Sunday editions, the agency is considering furloughs, hiring freezes, and other significant moves to reduce the gap. Well, why don't our leaders in Washington give the VA more money? If they're short, and they know they're short, you can't fix the shortfall of money by cutting back on people who give services, medical services, to the vet. That is just insanity to the highest possible level of insanity. Now, in the last year, the VA has increased capacity by more than 7 million patient visits per year, double what officials originally thought they needed to fix shortcomings. Well, that's because last year, we didn't get the full story. We didn't get the full story. We thought we did, and we thought it was bad. But it was worse than we were told. And they can't go around and tell us, we didn't think it was this bad. No, bullshit. They knew exactly how bad it was because they're the ones controlling the numbers over there. They knew what they needed, but they wanted to try to save face. And look, now they look like a bunch of jackasses. But this is Obamacare, folks. This is Obamacare. We can't be spending all this money on these vets. You know, maybe they should pay their own bill. You know what? No. They are. Do you realize that vets are paying a portion of their medical care now? They're paying the VA. Do people really? No, the Americans do not really. Look, I wrote a column this week, and basically, you cannot. No nation has ever been able to stand when they treat with total and utter disregard and disrespect their military vets. It's the military that keeps their nation a nation. It's their military. It doesn't matter when throughout history, because if you stop getting people who are willing to volunteer to put their lives on the line so that you can have your July 4th cookout, well, you're not going to have many more July 4th cookouts. Because there won't be anybody in the military. Why should they put their lives on the line when you're going to treat them like garbage? My father, God bless him. Being as patient as he, me and my mother are not quite as patient. Do you realize that he went through three teams of doctors? All because, my mom bitched and wanted somebody to take care of my dad, like, now. Oh, no, we can't. So this first thing, we can't handle anymore then. We can't, she's not willing to listen to us. No BS. You know what? They finally, the last team of doctors, the head doctor in this team, she finally came in and said, you need one of these dual pacemakers. And we're talking middle of June here. You need one of these pacemakers. Great. When can we put it in? Somewhere around mid-August. What? 2 months? Are you kidding me? Yeah, we can't do it any sooner. So this whole notion that the vets are not having to wait. And look, this is not. My dad is not the only one going through this. I was looking down that ICU unit, and these guys, over and over and over again, the loved ones would come into the waiting room telling us the same freaking stories. The chaplain of the hospital talked with us for like 2 hours, telling us the same freaking stories. The chaplain. I mean, here's a guy who was, he's a chaplain, he's also a vet. And he was like, you know, I'm fed up with it. The chaplain is fed up with it. You want to tell, this is how you treat the people who save your asses on a daily basis. No, it's not. And this is how it happens, because you people, you keep electing the wrong people who do not care. Who actually hate the military and for some reason think that the best way to get back in the military is to punish them. Well, I tell you what, how about we just park our Navy, we ground our planes, and we tell all our Army soldiers to go home, be with your families, and see how long it takes before China, Russia, or some other enemy starts to march on us. And some of the first people they're going to get rid of are these stupid-ass liberals that are in politics in state capitals and in Washington, D.C. across the country. They're going to be some of the first to go. Well, maybe not the liberals, because, you know, they'll just pander up and say, hey, you know, we always kind of like socialism. We try to implement it here. How do you have a medical system... You promised these men and women that you would take care of them. How do you allow a $3 billion shortfall and then you talk about, well, I need an Obama phone. And you're going to start giving out welfare checks to people. And every time you try to rein in this unnecessary welfare spending, you want to accuse the conservatives of being mean-spirited and uncaring and don't care about the poor. And, you know, I'm getting sick and freaking tired of people telling me, well, all we got to do is just tax the rich more. You say that for every stupid problem that we have with our government in underfunding stuff. Well, let me tell you something. You can't fix the problems that we have with spending by taxing the rich. You can take the rich's money, all of it, 100%, and you would not be able to fix the mess that was created by you freaking liberals. You spend too much in the wrong freaking places. You should be taking care of our vets and our current military active members. Oh, yeah. Those, they're not getting the best of care anymore either. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm not being disparaging towards Indians from India. But there are a lot of them here. A lot of them in the medical profession. There are a lot of them, they're doctors. But here's the problem with that. One, they don't tend to stay for very long, in any one particular place. And two, their societal mores are way different than ours. So let me just be blunt. They do not care. And I'm not disparaging them, because that's the way it is in their, they still have a true caste society. And if you are in a caste level in that system that is beneath them, they do not really care about you. And frankly, they come here, they get their education, or they're trying to get their experience. And they really, for most Americans, they think that most of the average Americans are beneath them. They do not care about you. You can see it in their attitude, how they talk to you, how they react to you, how they acknowledge you or don't acknowledge you. You can just tell. Look, I've been around a lot of them. I'm telling you, this is how they feel. This is how their society is. This is not good or bad. I'm not being disparaging. I'm telling you the actual factual truth. Generally speaking, they do not care at the same level that we do, because their society is completely different from ours. They do not have the same mores that we do. But yet we continue to hire them. Why? Because we keep saying, well, we have a shortage here. Well, why do we have a shortage here? We have all of these kids looking for a way to make a living, right? And yet, we talk about, you know, colleges cost this, colleges. Why aren't we training our kids to be medical professionals? Caring medical professionals. I'm just asking a question. It would seem to me that you would want to have your own people in charge of taking care of your own people. It is pretty sad when you're in the VA hospital in Syracuse, New York, and doctor name after doctor name after doctor name is Indian from India. And I'm talking off the boat. I'm not talking that they've been here, that they were, you know, born here. And I'm talking off the boat Indian from India. You know, and sometimes their accent is so thick you have a hard time understanding them. Why do you these are the people that are populating our hospital systems now. I'm not saying that they don't have knowledge. They're very smart. They're very knowledgeable. They're well trained. Hell, they're trained here, so yeah, they're very well trained. But they just do not have the same internal caring mechanism for others that we like to think that a person or a doctor or a medical professional should have here in this country. Again, it is not to disparage them. It is just not their culture. Plain and simple. You know, look, if they want to have a caste system in India, that is great. But, you know, when you talk about, well, and some people will probably say, well, Rod, they just need to be, they need to come over here and blend and meld and get with the program. What? We don't, liberals don't want that. We can't be a melting pot anymore. No, because, hey, that's racist. You know, you want them to be like you. That's a racist thing. Why should they give up their own culture if they come, just because they come here? Well, this is why. Because it's not compatible. And you start throwing all these incompatible cultures into the American culture, and things are, it's like putting sand in an engine. It's going to gum up the works eventually, and it's going to all come crashing down. You have to expect people to assimilate to a certain degree, and I'm not talking Star Trek and the board. Assimilation is, you know, inevitable, whatever. Just the basics. Learning the language. Understanding the fundamental mores of this country. And emulating those. But you know what? You can't do it if you're coming from a country that does not have anywhere near your mores. It's going to take a generation or two. But if you're not going to be here long enough, that's the truth. They don't care to be here. No, they're gonna get their experience, their education, their experience, make a little bit of money, and they're gonna take all that stuff back to India. And, you know, I don't have an overwhelming problem with that. My problem is that we're not offering the same opportunity. We're not pushing the same opportunities for American people to do what these foreigners are doing. And maybe if we did that, we wouldn't need so many foreigners just to do this kind of work. And maybe we'd get a little bit more help and caring in our medical professions. And maybe then, you know, I don't know, if we tossed in the $3 billion that was the VA was short, we wouldn't be, you know, having to look for cheaper labor from overseas. I mean, to be told, well, you need a pacemaker, you need this special kind of pacemaker, because, you know, your heart's kind of weak. But, you know, you got to wait 2 months. Are we playing the, well, the lottery here? Is the VA's whole thing, well, you know, maybe he'll die. We won't have to spend the money on him before 2 months comes in. You know, I don't like to think this way, but I already told my mother if he doesn't make it, we're suing the hell out of him. Because this cannot go on. And it is not because we're going to want money. It is just that this is a scandal that, oh, it was big at the moment. The press thought that they could make hay out of it and, you know, blame the GOP and conservatives for this. And then they found out, well, you know, it's really, you know, Obama's fault, their administration. So, well, we kind of better let this one go. No, folks, if you don't take care of your own, then you're going to end up with nobody there to take care of you. I keep saying elections have consequences. Electing the right people or the wrong people has consequences. You know, you don't get to do a do-over. You can't say, you know, it's one of these things that I hear, it's starting to make the news. You know, blacks are starting to regret electing Obama. Well, you know, I don't want to hear it. I do not want to hear it. I told you over and over and over and over and over and over again. Before you elected him the first time, we told you over and over and over and over and over again, and even gave you proof then, and you still elected him again. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear about this voter remorse. You guys are freaking idiots. We told you. It was a bad idea. He was not the right guy. And you thought, well, no, yeah, he's going to be great. And you still got some people trying to defend the guy. You know, are you out of your freaking mind? He's done this, 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 and this. I've even had to trick people. Hey, do you know George Bush did this, 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 and this? And these people are like, oh, really? Man, see, George Bush is an a-hole. He should go to jail. Man, we should hang him. Oh, I made a mistake. That's actually Obama in his second term. Oh, well, no, that can't be. Yeah, look, people don't even know what this guy does. And yet they defend him. Well, he's a good president. Well, he did this. No, that wasn't him. That was Bush. No, that was Obama in his second term. But he's, well, you just don't like him because he's black. Yeah, you want to try another one? I don't like him because of his policies. Has nothing to do with the color of his skin. And all you white people out there, conservatives, who have let this mockery happen, I'm mad at you. Well, you know, and we got it going on again. Well, you know, if my candidate isn't the nominee, I'm staying home. You know, I should put you on the front lines if you stay home. Should make you go overseas. Should institute the draft, and whoever doesn't go out and vote because their candidate didn't get the nomination should be the first over there. I'm serious. I'm sick and tired of this crap. You keep electing the wrong people, and you know what? You won't have to worry about, you know, electing the right people later on because you won't have a country to elect officials for anymore. It'll be gone.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war. As they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With the Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
And we are back. Here is a WashingtonTimes.com story. When I saw this, I'm thinking, what? I didn't know this kind of thing really happened. And I didn't know that we needed to have a Supreme Court ruling on it. But justices rule the federal government can't seize California raisin crops just to prop up prices. Yeah. You heard me right. The Supreme Court ordered the federal authorities to stop acting like bossy Marie Antoinettes, ruling Monday that the government can't swoop in to seize someone's property without paying a full fair price for it. Now, in this case, that meant rejecting the government's claim under an antiquated agriculture law that it was entitled to claim as much as half of a California raisin farmer's crop to maintain market stability and keep prices up for other raisin farmers. So, in other words, our government is in the business of trying to... They're stealing people's property. And just so they can keep prices higher. Think about that for a second, folks. Now, hearkening back to the Revolutionary War, Chief Justice John Roberts said property rights were a fundamental part of the country's founding and that the government cannot casually trample on those liberties. The 8-to-1 ruling established two key tenets. Possessions such as cars, or in this case farm produce, are entitled to the same kinds of protections as real property such as land, and the government cannot get around those limits by insisting that the seizure is being conducted for the owner's own good. In this case, a stable raisin market. The government should not be in the business of trying to stabilize prices. I mean, not in this manner. Now, the government has a categorical duty to pay just compensation when it takes your car, just as when it takes your home, Chief Justice Roberts wrote. Now, business groups, of course, are hailing the ruling as a major check on the government's grabbing behavior, but said it was stunning that it took a Supreme Court ruling to curb the federal authorities' appetite. Well, that's what it's taken for a lot of stuff. But you can be sure that they're still going to try to find ways and around it and come up with new regulations or something in order to come around, get around the Supreme Court ruling. But literally, technically, you can't. You can't take somebody's property is their property. It doesn't matter if it's real estate or a car or farm crops. So all you people out there who are saying, well, the government's going to come in and start taking people's, you know, home produce that they grow. Well, according to the Supreme Court, they can't, not without giving you just compensation.
Well, they can say whatever they want is just compensation.
No, to a certain degree, yes, it could be the wholesale price on something, which means then you're going to take that wholesale money and have to go buy your food retail. But, you know, at least they just, in other words, if the value of the food that you grow is worth, you know, $5,000 wholesale, then the government can't come in and just give you $2,000 and say, well, yeah, just deal with it. No. They're going to have to give you the $5,000. But, yeah, I know it's going to cost you $10,000 to buy the same amount of food that the government just took. I get it. I get it. I do. Now, the raisin ruling was one of a couple of decisions issued Monday that set protections against government power. Why we have to have these rulings? Why do we have to take some of this stuff to court in the first place is beyond me. Because we have an overbearing government, that's why. In another, the court ruled that laws that appear to infringe on Fourth Amendment privacy rights can be challenged on their face and don't need to wait for an egregious case to arise. In other words, this whole notion, well, you got to have standing. I shouldn't have to wait for me to be harmed in order for me to get justice. You should be meting out justice before anybody gets harmed by this kind of stuff. But, you know, it is what it is. And, now the Raisin ruling is heating things up for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And the seizure case stems from nearly $500,000 worth of raisins that the U.S. Department of Agriculture claimed as its share of the crop grown by California producers Marvin and Laura Horn. What are they, sharecroppers?
This $500,000 in raisins is our share.
Have you ever heard of the government having a share? Look, I know that they give out subsidies for corn, and our government often pays farmers not to plant. All their fields for certain types of crops sometimes, but I've never heard of the government saying, well, that's our share. What? Now, this is under an antiquated 1937 law meant to create a stable market for agricultural products. Now, the idea behind the program, farmers growing crops on their own would tend to produce booms and busts in supply. Well, yeah, because that's just the way the thing works. While a managed system would lead to more predictable supplies. Well, not if, you know, it's a bust year. I don't know. How long do raisins last? But you can't keep fresh produce around forever. You just can't. Now, the Horns refused to turn over their crop. Then the government decided they were going to be jackbooted thugs, and they sent trucks at 8 a.m. one day to collect them anyway, and the Horns blocked the federal agent's entry. Now, the government then fined the couple about $480,000 for the raisins and assessed a further penalty of more than $200,000 for defying the federal government. Defying. Oh, yeah. You can't defy us. Hey, there's a fine. $200,000 for defying us. Now, administration attorneys argue that since the raisins were personal property rather than real property, it doesn't really matter. It's property. It's personal property. Even real property is personal property. It doesn't belong to the government. It belongs to the individual who owns it. Well, it's personal property rather than real property, such as real estate, and the Constitution provides less protection. Really? Where does it say that? Where does it say that in the Constitution? It doesn't. Even if that weren't the case, the government argued the raisins were taken to maintain a stable market and were sometimes sold with part of the profits going back to the growers. So the growers were getting a fair price whether they wanted to participate in the program or not, said the government. Well, they didn't want to. So now you're going to fine them over, you know, $680,000 for not wanting to participate. How does that make any sense? Yeah, no, you know, we don't want to participate in your program. Well, you can't defy the government. We're the government. So that means, you know, you're going to have to pay a fine of $200,000 for defying us. Yeah, you can't make this crap up, folks. I mean, this is big government run amok. Now, I want to ask you, I know there are people out there that keep saying, well, you know, this candidate, Cruz will stop all this, or Rubio will stop all this, or Walker will stop all this, or, you know, this Bush will stop all this, or this candidate will stop all of this. You know what I say to all that? Bullshit. Because, you know, isn't that what we said about George W. Bush? I'm just saying. Look, we don't... There isn't, if these guys are really serious about all this, then great. If they're gonna, but when they get in the office, they better start paring back these federal bureaucracies so less of this stuff happens. Otherwise, I'm going to be on them like white on rice. I know, is that a racist thing to say white on rice? I know white rice is white, you know, the kind you get at the... Now I want Chinese food. I'm hungry and I want Chinese food now. Because I just said white... Well, I've had to cut out the comments on most of the pages on my website, because what I was getting was, sometimes I was getting up to 300 comments per day. It's all spam crap. I don't know where this stuff comes from. And yeah, there's, you know, you get, this is another thing that I have a pet peeve about. You get this stuff that tells you, oh yeah, this is free. You know, you use this for free to stop all the spam. I've gone through three programs, free. Only to find out that, you know, if you got to read the small print, oh, well, your free trial period is almost up. Well, you didn't say that this was a trial period. You said it was free. Now, I understand that you have something else that has bells and whistles. I don't want the bells and whistles. If I want the bells and whistles, I'll buy it from you. But I don't want the bells and whistles. I just want, you know, this one little part. Well, you know, that's only free for a week or 10 days or something stupid like that. And so I just said, screw it. I'm just going to shut down the comments because I'm tired of all this, having to deal with all this spam. Does anybody even read that crap and click on it? Well, I guess if it didn't work, they wouldn't be doing it, but I don't even know how it happens and people get a hold of, they must have crawlers or software. I guess you got to buy the software to do that too, huh? Put out spam comments. I mean, wow. Because who's got time to do that every single day? But yeah, and I know that some of the marketing gurus will tell you to do that. Just I'm telling you, don't. As a marketing professional, I'm telling you, don't ever comment. Don't ever spam anybody, anytime, anywhere for anything. You're going to do yourself some great harm. You're going to get banned from a lot of places. You're going to get blocked and all kinds of other things. And nobody's going to buy anything from you. So don't believe all these gurus that tell you, oh yeah, this type of thing, it's not really spamming. Yeah, it is spamming. Don't do it. Because people just end up getting pissed off and they just end up blocking you. I know I do. Did. Scientific study. This is a Newsmax article. Of course, I already knew this, but you know, it's good to have science backing it up. The scientific study. Conservatives have more self-control than liberals. That's basically the reason why I didn't backhand that one guy. You know, Rod, you just don't understand what racism is then. Because I'm a conservative, so I have self-control. And this is a scientific study that proves me right. Conservatives in the United States have more self-control than liberals, according to the results of a new study. Now, the research results appear on the National Academy of Sciences website. And they prove that right-leaning Americans have more willpower than any other political group. Now, evidence from three studies reveals a critical difference in self-control as a function of political ideology, the study abstract reads. Specifically, greater endorsement of political conservatism versus liberalism was associated with greater attention, regulation, and task persistence. Moreover, this relationship is shown to stem from varying beliefs in free will, specifically the association between political ideology and self-control is mediated by differences in the extent to which belief in free will is endorsed, is independent of task performance or motivation, and is reversed when free will is perceived to impede rather than to enhance the self-control. In other words, we know we have the free will to do whatever we want, but should you do whatever the hell you want? Well, conservatives say no. I know you liberals are out there. Yeah, just do whatever makes you feel good. That's your mantra. Do whatever makes you feel good.
Yeah, just do whatever makes you feel good. You can do it all night long if you want to.
Conservatives say, hell no, that's not the way life really works. Because just because you want to do it doesn't mean it's a good thing to do. So we have a little bit more self-control. And you could say by fiat, we have a higher moral standard. Well, sometimes that kind of stuff gets kind of twisted. I get it. I know. Blah, 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 blah. But in reality, the whole basis behind self-control is morality. Now, think about it for a second. If you believe, let's take an extreme. If you believe murder is wrong, then you're going to control your behavior to such a degree that you're probably most likely not going to want to commit murder. Now, if you believe that you should just do whatever makes you feel good, and if you think that killing a person is going to make you feel good, well, then you're more likely to go out there and murder somebody. Well, that's liberal mindset there. Do whatever makes you feel good. Well, okay. Oh, yeah, I'm going to feel better if I off that guy. You know, I'm sure that kid walked into the South Carolina church thinking, you know, I'm going to feel a hell of a lot better once I kill these people. I'm sure that was going through his mind. There was no self-control there. And if you notice how all these mass shooters, they try to blame and pinpoint on conservatives, and they end up turning out to be, you know, liberal Democrats. You think they'd learn their lesson by now and stop trying to pin this on conservatives, because it always comes back to bite them in the ass. That's the other thing liberals just do not get. They don't learn from their past mistakes. They keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. So again, no self-control because they have no moral compass and no moral center. If you don't have a moral center and a moral base, then how are you going to refrain from doing something that isn't necessarily right? That's where your restraint comes from. It comes from your moral center. Conservatives have a moral center. They have a core belief system. A lot of times it's rooted in religion, sure, but they still have that core belief system, which then gives them the ability to control their free will. Just because you have free will doesn't mean you should be able to do whatever the hell you please. No, you got too much of a good thing, you know, is not so good. So you have to be able to control your own thought process. And that's based on your own moral center, of which liberals do not have a core moral center because they believe, well, you know, what's good for me may not be good for you. What's good for you may not be good for other people. No, that's bullshit too. There is right and wrong. There is no gray. And if you have that moral compass and moral center, well, then you're better able to control your urges and your tendencies and your desires. You won't act out on those things. Hey, you know, I think I should be able to smoke pot if I want to. Okay, so you don't think there should be a limit on it? No, man, there's no limit. Whatever makes you feel good. Well, a conservative says, well, you know, even if there is no, you know, you shouldn't just indulge in everything. You should have some sort of control, self-control. Because if people had self-control, more people had self-control, then we wouldn't need government laws trying to control us. Oh, sure, the leftists would still, you know, come up with laws to try to control us, but we wouldn't really need them. And they wouldn't have the mantra, well, we need this law. Well, why? Because the American people are controlling themselves. There is no need for it. Well, we still need it. Well, they want it for control and power. And that's it. Plain and simple. So I thought that was fascinating. Now, according to a Los Angeles Times article, conservatives generally were faster at determining the correct answers to questions about self-control as well. Of course we were. finally tonight, this is from the Huffington Post. The White House took a major step forward on Monday to support research into the medical properties of marijuana, lifting a much maligned bureaucratic requirement that had long stifled scientific research. Now, people tend to think, well, you know, pot shouldn't be illegal. I'm not here to tell you or determine whether or not pot should be legalized or not. However, I do believe that the research into it should go forward full force, because look, we don't know a lot about this thing. And that's a sad thing. So you can't make laws and legislation based on conjecture. You got to know what this stuff does. And if it has a legitimate usefulness, then we should exploit that legitimate usefulness. If it has no legitimate usefulness, then, you know, what's the big deal? No, some people are saying, no, Rod, we just can't have it. Why? Because you've been told? Well, we don't know enough about it. I know a lot of the stuff that you think you know about pot, there is no scientific basis behind that belief. Believe it or not, I hate to tell you, but there is no scientific basis behind it because nobody's doing the research. Because, you know, hey, we're the biggest medical research country on the planet. And if we're not doing it, other countries really aren't going to be all that interested in it, usually. So, there you go. If we're not looking into pot as being a medical plant or herb, seriously, then most other countries around the world are not going to waste their resources on it either. They just don't have those resources like we do. Well, we have come to an end of the program, but fear not, because we will be back, and I'll be giving you more wonderful wit and wisdom from my conservative brain. Till then, I'm Rod Echols. This has been the Rod Echols Show. I'm out.